And this is Danny Schechter, your News Dissector, here once again at the year's end on the News Dissector Radio Hour here on PRN-FM, the station and the network that tries to fill in the gaps of our news, experience, which has more gaps than it has news. So we're going to be talking about the end of the year, the best news of the year, the worst stories, and all the rest of it. You could join us on the radio at 888-874-4888. Did I say radio? You know what I meant. I meant the computer. You can also listen on the telephone at 832-280-0066. The toll-free number here is 877-627-5065. So I do a blog every day at newsdissector.net once a week. The folks here at PRN-FM, Gary Knoll and the gang, have invited me to do a radio show. I've been doing it for the past year and hope to be continuing in the year ahead if I can and if all the stars align and the interludes connect, I will be here. I'm here today with a great buddy of mine, a great artist, musician, and all-around gentleman, none other than Polar Levine, a.k.a. Polarity One, who's done some great music for my movies and the work that he's done. And we're going to hear some of his new work on this program. So that's the schedule. I'm going to be talking about the end of the year and news at year's end. And we're going to be chatting about all that with Polarity One. And we're going to be hearing some great music. So please stay with us here on PRN. FM.
To chase and to Wachovia, Wells Fargo, Sally Mae, to MasterCard and Citibank, and also B of A. American Express and Visa.
Well, I recorded, that was recorded for my film In Debt We Trust back in 2006, warning of the financial crisis. At that time, I was considered a doom and gloomer, an alarmist. I didn't know what I was talking about. And then, lo and behold, the financial crisis hit us and has yet to let us go. So I am continuing to play that song and other songs that Polarity One produced for the In Debt We Trust album, the Plunder film, and many other Occupy Wall Street-related songs that try to use the power of music, the power of creativity, the power of collage to bring home, you know, the issues of our times. And Polarity One is somebody who's unique in the sense that of all the musicians who are strumming guitars and playing banjos and continuing the folk tradition, he has added the groove to his music. He has added a beat to his music. He's a contemporary artist who does music with a message, but also music that gets your feet moving. And that's an important connection. Polarity, Polar, here we are at year's end on PRN. How are you feeling? You don't look too good. You look a little grumpy today, are you?
No. I work through the night until, 5, 6, 7 in the morning, because it's those, it's that magic time when there's no humans around, and I'm underslept. And this is about the time that my brain cells start to line up and salute. So, but not quite yet. But I'm feeling good.
All right. Well, that's good. And I'm glad that you're here and could join me at this moment, this propitious moment in America where the fiscal cliff, as they describe it, awaits. We've just had word that the House of Representatives and the Senate will reconvene on Sunday night to do a miraculous deal at the very last minute to save us from going over this problematic cliff and some kind of deal which will raise taxes on try to stop raising taxes on most of us, raise taxes a smidgen on the richest people in America, and cut programs that are vitally needed. So really all this is about is austerity, is about cutbacks. It's not about really a deficit. A lot of that is a big scare tactic, in part because a lot of the people we owe money to are the banks themselves, who are pushing the alarm button, pushing the fear button, to try to get the government to cough up more money that goes into their coffers. One song that you did recently, I'm hoping that we're listening here, one song that you've done recently is about the mess that we're in. Tell us about this song, and we'll play it for the folks.
Yeah, most of the songs I do are about specific issues. You know, a lot of them are funny because I think that's I think the message between the lines comes through in humor. Some of it isn't funny. Some of it's just damn pissed off. This song, Turn This Mess Around, is something a bit different. This is just a call to the streets.
You know, and a lot of people see what's going on as a big mess. It's hard to define it because it oozes between finance and politics and media, and almost everything seems to be, artificial, not real, not honest, not transparent, not really accountable to the people. And so when we talk about the mess, what we're talking about is the crisis that we feel, in this country right now. And as far as I can tell, the depression is here. It may not be an economic depression yet, but it's a personal depression.
Well, for a lot of people, it is an economic depression. You know, there's a lot of messes going on. It's not just a mess for us lefties. There's a big mess out there in the red part of the country. And, you know, my feeling, this song involves them, too. You know, I don't agree with the Tea Party. I don't agree with a lot of the body language and the philosophical stuff. But, you know, I'm just real glad they're out there on the street. And it makes me feel good. I wish that they didn't hook up, you know, with the oil industry and the Republican Party and Fox News and all that. But I'm glad they got out there on the street. This song is for them, too.
So let's hear it, okay? And this is actually done in the name of Pepper Tan.
The music I'm doing now for Occupy isn't under the name Polarity One. It's under Pepper Spray Tan.
Pepper Spray Tan. Here we go.
It's a new day. Hip, hip, hooray. Let's fix this mess. Let's fix this mess.
The money. Day. Hip, hip, hooray. Let's fix this mess that few made. They owe us gas money, check the fuel gauge. In the news, we refuse to ingest the Kool-Aid. You can move with the movement, don't move away. With this ride, don't run on hope to lose change. They got cousins that are locked down, uncles laid to rest. Homies that are under the jail for doing less. So who, where, what the fuck? How are these guys limo riding in the lair right now? I'm pulling out my hair right now to get away. Mr. Clean, Mystic instantly. Is it me? Cause it seems so fixed to me. Telling them musically, enough with the usury. No beef with police, it ain't between you and me. Check your pay stub, you notice that you with me. Turn this mess around. Turn this mess around. Right, it's mighty, fix it.
this mess, 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 mess in a day. Hip hip hooray, let's fix this mess, 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 mess in a day. Let's fix this mess, 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 mess. This mess, 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 mess. It's a new day. Hip hip hooray, let's fix this mess, 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 mess.
Mess around. That's quite a sound there, and quite a lot of energy, and you know, it got me thinking and moving at the same time. So that's what music's supposed to be.
If you're gonna get in the street, dance in the street.
Well, you know, I'm a news dissector. I try to be. I write newsdissector.net every morning. I also write weekly commentaries, and I've just finished one on news at year's end, and I wouldn't mind reading it to you as the audience of one in the studio and to anyone listening who might want to call in and comment at 888-874-4888. You know, the TV networks are hard at work in this last week of the year, recapping their best footage to remind us where we've been. Researchers are combing the archives to find the best images for their annual Greatest Hits package, which usually ends with a photo montage driven by music of the politicians, entertainers, and personalities who died in 2012. As we watch, we ooh, we ah, and remember calamities that struck us, like that well-named Frankenstorm, Sandy, and the shooting of the children at Sandy Hook in Connecticut. They will replay the 2012 presidential elections that bring us to the stalemate we are stuck in, what's been labeled the fiscal cliff. And you know what else they'll show? The year of the I-55, the iPad 3, the Olympics, and Gangnam Style. We'll hear about Kate Middleton's rise and Whitney Houston's demise, and the ups and downs of the Chinese-American basketball player Jeremy Lin. When it comes to the world, there will be a reference to the war on Iran that wasn't, and the war that is ripping Syria apart. We may hear about China's new leader, the mess in Mexico, and Hugo Chavez's electoral victory and battle with cancer. The deaths in Gaza will be omitted. There is unlikely to be any mention of the stories chosen by the Miami Herald's Andreas Oppenheimer, who reminds us of a July 16th news report from Kuala Lumpur, that's in Malaysia, that negotiations for the completion of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Agreement, which could become the world's biggest and most ambitious deal of its kind, could be concluded by October 2013, What are its implications? Who stands to benefit? Who will lose? That's not even in the news yet. Or the November 25th vote in Catalonia in Spain, in which about 70% of the people voted for parties that support a referendum for independence of the rich northern Spain region, triggering a chain reaction of secessionist moves in the 27-country European Union. Many fear that if Catalonia secedes from Spain, Corsica and the Basque region may seek independence from France. Scotland may split from Britain and Flanders and Wallonia from Belgium, among others. Economic turmoil could be followed by political chaos in Europe. All of this was so awful that many of us almost look forward to those Mayan prophecies of the world ending. Those of us who hope the Obama re-election might usher in a little more justice and equality remain disappointed. Those of us who longed for a change we could believe in then took to the streets to try to create one, only to confront the power of the police state, the NYPD, FBI, et al., only now, with the disclosure of new documents, do we have a hint of how we were spied upon and lied upon. All of our news deals with specific stories and events, not trends and less visible forces that drive our economy and political system. We hear about issues, not interests. The newscasts lack context, background, analysis, and interpretation. They are there to dumb us down, not smarten us up. What the big banks do and don't do are treated in terms only of discrete deals, not their role as channels of the influence of the 1%. It's not news when regulators don't regulate or when industries, quote, capture the officials meant to restrain them. Guns in America are in the news, but not our vast armament industry that sells weapons, including new drone systems worldwide. Our country is always pictured domestically as the homeland, a phrase first used in Germany in the 1930s and then in South Africa decades later. We see ourselves as a nation, while much of the world sees us as an empire. And as for the economy, all the talk of tax and trade policies soar over most people's heads, as the business publication Wealth Daily reports in warning that major pay cuts are coming. Quote, now that the very basic taxation and revenue proposals are converging in the fiscal cliff talks, politicians are fielding some entitlement program, quote, revisions. These changes are seemingly minute. On paper, we're just going to have an even exchange between obscure equations that are basically similar. But that's the whole point. If the general public can't understand it, they don't pay attention to it. If they don't pay attention to it, they won't punish politicians for it. The odds are that the LIBOR conspiracy that manipulated trillions will be overlooked. Too hard to explain in 10 seconds. Increasingly, the most important issues are found in the movies, in fiction, not faction. And certainly not on TV news. In theaters now, we have a choice between two views of the impact of slavery in America. Steven Spielberg's Lincoln and Quentin Tarantino's Django Unchained. One focuses on corrupting the Congress to outlaw slavery, and the other on the brutality of slavery on the slaves. The former traces a top-down reform as a matter of constitutional theory. The latter shows a bottom-up armed revolt against ugly racism. Take your choice. The movie version of the musical Les Miserables tells the story of the failed French Revolution in song, its barricades, but not its values. Argo, meanwhile, briefly cites the reasons for the Iranian Revolution, but then celebrates the role of the CIA in rescuing Americans from it while reinforcing American hostility to Iran. The film Zero Dark Thirty shows how the CIA tortures far more graphically than TV news ever did. But then it turns a pretty CIA analyst, obsessed with, not with capturing bin Laden, but killing him, into a hero. The movie doesn't have the guts to condemn state-supported death squads and torture explicitly, and may even have gotten the story wrong, because what they call enhanced interrogation was not the critical element in finding him, according to the CIA itself, U.S. senators, and many experts. One interesting casting choice was to have the actor who played Tony Soprano, the mafia boss on TV, to portray Pentagon Chief Leon Panetta. The holiday season is not a very cheery time in America. What with a political stalemate in Washington, parents mourning the deaths of young children slaughtered in their classrooms, storms savaging the Midwest and the East, and the certainty of a less than rosy future awaiting us in the next year, where the only option seems to be more austerity at home, more foreign intervention in wars abroad, and talk of a new global recession. If there is a zeitgeist, it's not one of optimism. This is an angry and deeply polarized country in a world that seems to be imploding. Happy News Year from your News Dissector. I've just written this, and we'll have it up probably on PRN as well in the next few days. But I'm trying to look at the news not in terms of discrete stories, but the whole phenomena of it. And this is a way that you helped, Pilar, because you created some cliff notes for the In Debt We Trust movie about debt in America, and using and integrating the sound bites from our movie into a song. And I'd like to share that with you right now. In Debt We Trust, Cliff Notes.
I pledge allegiance to the card of the United States of Credit. One nation under debt, with bankruptcies, late fees, and high interest for all.
We're doomed to shop till we drop.
Shopping is the American addiction. Borrowing and debt. In Debt We Trust.
It's kind of hard to serve the master and MasterCard.
I just need your signature right here, please.
The gospel of shopping. The gospel of buying things.
Our society has been really set up to keep us struggling and not give us relief.
In Debt We Trust. The national savings rate is now zero.
It's just making my family even more poor.
Now let's see just how shopping can be fun. Real fun.
To shop till we drop.
Yeah, you get free money, but you have to pay.
We just constantly are getting bombarded from the credit card companies.
Stop sending me credit card letters, man. I don't want any more credit cards. I already have bad credit.
And it's like, don't send it. I don't want it.
Debt is profitable.
I received a credit card for a limit of $10,000.
Debt is profitable.
At that time, I was not making any kind of money.
Debt is profitable.
In debt, we trust.
I can tell you, at Citibank and at other companies I've been in, many senior executives are extremely cynical.
Your choice, your chase.
She owes $15,000 in credit card debt. Another $20,000 in educational debt. And is getting calls all day and all night and can't sleep.
This is Stacy with Bank One Chase. I need to speak to you today.
My dad don't let me to sleep.
Unwanted, unsolicited credit card solicitations. They're giving it to people that they know cannot pay the money back.
Father dies. His house. And he never wanted me to lose it.
We lose his house. We lose everything. It's all we've got.
Debt is profitable.
Somebody always calling me up, sending me a letter, trying to get me to refinance my home.
It's designed for you to lose your home.
Foreclosure rates are very high. We have 700 foreclosures in the last 3 years.
The interest rate is anywhere between 40 and 700%.
They're making 54% net profit. That is evil. And they're making it off the poorest members of our society. That is evil.
Because these are very short-term loans that are being made by some of the largest banks in the world.
I just need your signature. Right here, please.
Bye!
$5 billion. $5 billion to the credit card companies. That's what this bill is all about. Where do you think it comes from? People who've gone into bankruptcy. Who are those people?
It's really frustrating to see people's lives being destroyed because these guys are seeking the buck.
They are the people that have the heart attacks. They are the men and women whose jobs have been outsourced. Those are the people that are being hurt.
These abuses have to be changed and they have to be stopped.
The largest contributors to political campaigns in America are the financial institutions. The second largest contributors are large real estate developers.
Big conglomerate banks have control of Congress.
President Bush signed a sweeping revision of bankruptcy rules today. The new law makes it harder to erase debts by declaring personal bankruptcy.
That is profitable.
Part of the American Revolution was to break enslavement from financial debt.
We're seeing people who are dependent on credit. We're seeing them trying to struggle and make their minimum payments.
Just need your signature. We're here, please.
They take advantage of people.
It's not about race anymore. It's more of a class separation in this country.
Just need your signature. Right here, please.
We weren't well educated as to how swift and conniving these people are.
The lingo and language all coded under ambiguous phrases like skip tracing, scrubbing.
Tax preparation, the liberty taxes, the payday loans, the Wells Fargo's, they all just place themselves in our communities and rip people off.
Just need your signature. Right here, please.
It's about people being taken advantage of. It's about losing the American dream.
A country, they built the middle class, the unions and inventors, the teachers and the brass. But now it's run by players, a zero-sum game, buy-in politicians, and the unions get the blame. Which side are you on, boy? Which side are you?
Side are you on, girl? Which side are you on?
It's nothing but sickness. You just can't get enough. This sickness grabs a piece of us every time we log on. Now history is calling, saying which side are you on?
Well, 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 you've just heard Which Side Are You On? A new version by Polarity One, Polar Levine, in the house with me today on this program as we talk about the end of the year and the news and what really mattered this year. And, you know, he talks about it with grooves and music and rhythms and beats and lyrics. And I talk about it with blogs and books and columns and trying, but we're both saying pretty much the same thing. We're trying to get deeper than most of our media goes, to try to raise more important questions about what's happening to our country, what's happening to our culture, and what we and you and I can do about it, which is really the key question. And, you know, it's one thing to just sort of pee in the wind, expressing outrage all the time. But we also need to connect with a lot of the anger that's out there and a lot of the concern that's out there. We saw that the Occupy movement after the Sandy, disaster, and which is still ongoing, went out to Rockaway, went out to Queens, went out to a lot of the affected and afflicted neighborhoods to help people. So there's an ethic of community service there, not simply a picket sign, you know, and a stance of, but also, standing up for values, not just against values. And Polarity One is here with me. You can join us at 888-874-4888. In doing that new version of Which Side Are You On? What was motivating you there? Because obviously that's a song that goes back into the labor struggles of the 30s. And has been a constant song in the arsenal, if you will, of activists.
Yeah, but I really love that song, and it's got kind of a blues thing in it, and it can lead to a lot of different ways of expressing it. And I've actually done three totally different versions of it. It's a traditional melody. The original lyrics were written by, oh, damn, her first name.
Florence Reese.
Florence Reese.
How did I do?
Beautiful. Okay. Beautiful. You saved me here.
If you see the movie Harlan County, USA, made, 30 years ago, Struggles in Harlan County, Kentucky, Florence Reese sang that song for Barbara Koppel, the making of that movie. And I've met her, and she, the people in that labor struggle, extremely militant, extremely righteous, and that song was their anthem. So it's great that she gets some recognition, too.
Yeah, yeah. But I updated the lyrics to be more about what's going on now. And in this version of it, I put a northern Brazilian groove on it. I thought it would put a certain slam on the that certain slam as punctuation on the thing. And one of the things that I'm part of the music working group in Occupy, and one of the things we're trying to do is take a lot of these old songs, even rock songs, and update the lyrics to them. We might play one or two more of the ones that I've done.
Yeah, sure we can. I mean, Occupy Wall Street, you lived around the corner from Occupy Wall Street. I dragged you down there.
That's right.
And
not
only did you become part of the drumming circle there for a while, but, you connected with people, put out a newspaper, worked on a lot of different media projects, including a radio show that was on Pacifica Network somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, did original music, original collages, and a tremendous amount of very creative approaches to storytelling and information sharing. And I have a great deal of respect for you in that connection.
Well, thank you.
And one of the songs you did that you've just updated, I haven't really heard it yet, is an anthem for Occupy Wall Street. Now, Occupy Wall Street seems to be buried in the background here, partly because of the Sandy situation, partly because of the intransigence of the Bloomberg administration, the Wall Street financiers, the unwillingness, basically, to change. Almost everything they were talking about later proved to be true. You know, the LIBOR rate manipulation case, which led to $1 billion in fines and possible criminal charges actually being filed against some of these banksters. You know, they were on the money, on target. They were denigrated. They were talked about. The media, you know, kind of played up the confrontational aspects and then basically neglected to really explore the deeper issues they were raising. I've written a book about it called Occupy, Dissecting Occupy Wall Street. I wrote many columns about it. You know, I felt like this was a chance to sort of challenge the media and the Wall Street financial empire. One of the things that's interesting is that one of the targets of Occupy Wall Street has been the New York Stock Exchange. In a year, there may not be a New York Stock Exchange.
Yeah.
The Stock Exchange is being bought by a company called Euronext. And the whole idea here is to substitute trading on stocks to trading in derivatives, which are the most dangerous. Warren Buffett called it weapons of financial mass destruction. And so the whole stock exchange, which in a sense, Occupy was never able to shut down through its own protests, is shutting itself down in a $1 point something billion or $8 point something billion deal where the New York Stock Exchange goes out of business. So all of this is a capitalism marching on in more dangerous, less regulated ways. And, you know, you saw this, you know, in not only in musical terms, but in moral terms, in the conflict between the 1%, the 99% Americans, and the people of the world who are being held hostage by this small group of financial terrorists, essentially. So you did a song about Occupy, an anthem. Let's hear that now here on News Dissector Radio on PRN FM.
Yeah.
Occupy Wall Street, Polarity One. Wow, that is a movement moment. It's also a musical moment. It's a song, really, that captures the passion, the energy, and the determination of the people who occupied Wall Street and were still in spirit occupying Wall Street. Your ideas on making this song?
Yeah, it's actually not a song at all. It's a pile of noise, and that's what I wanted. I wanted to take that Occupy Street noise, and that whole musical front line, which was the drum line since day one, and just turn that into a noise fest, you know. And some of you may have recognized David and Traders' tenor sax. Every time the drums are out there, David's in there honking away, and he's good. So, you know, he's on a bunch of new stuff that'll be coming out.
Let's just share with the audience how they can hear this music online. What is your website? Where are some of these songs and music and noise available?
Yeah, my website is polarityone.com. It's P-O-L-A-R-I-T-Y, the number one.com. And on the homepage, there's a lot of music there, a lot of political stuff, and, you know, my albums and stuff. But there's a particular album you'll see on the homepage, which is Free Money, But You Have to Pay. And there's a whole bunch of free downloadable stuff. And I'm going to be getting these songs up there within the coming week. But all those songs that I put together for Danny's films are up there, Plunder and the Cliff Notes. And also you can stream the Radio WS shows that we had up there this
So all of that at polarityone.com. Write that down. Check that out. I think you'll find it of value and interest. Now, money, of course, is the underlying all of this, the people who have it, keeping it from the people who need it. So you did a version of that song, M-O-N-E-Y, as well.
This is a song that Berry Gordy somehow got his name attached to. I have a feeling he didn't do much in it, and Damn is another one. I should have written down the songwriter. Google it. Money, that's what I want, or something, but I turned it into Money, That's What They Want. It's another one of those things. The Beatles did a version of it. Maybe everybody's familiar with that. And I updated the lyrics to that one. And this is a new Pepper Spray Tan parody called Money, That's What They Want.
Wow, wow, wow. You know, you've taken something that's really well known and you've made it better. I think that's really cool. People, you'll be able to hear these songs also in the PRN archive. I'll be listing the URL on newsdissector.net tomorrow morning. You'll be able to download it, play it, share it with your friends. There's one more song that Polarity has brought with us.
Yeah, this one is based on a big country hit of Kitty Wells in the 50s called It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels, and I turned it into It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Psycho Bankers. And and I love country music, and I know a lot of us lefties, you know, don't like it, and it has all these allusions to, you know, this and that. But I mean, I don't feel that way. I have a lot of respect for country. In fact, I'm looking for a female country singer to do the final vocal on this one because my voice is different. Anyway, want you to hear a real old-school country tune. It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Psycho Bankers.
It Wasn't God. Polarity One, thank you so much for coming in and doing this with me. Let's do it again in the next year, and let's talk some more and play some more music. I'm Danny Schechter, your News Dissector. You can catch me every morning at newsdissector.net. I'm in the process of bringing back mediachannel.org online. Hopefully that's going to happen in the next year. I have a new book that'll be coming out as well called Dissecting the News and Lighting the Fuse. I'm also eager to get your comments and reactions and any offers of help or support to dissector@mediachannel.org. So that's what I do, and that's what I'm about. I'm just finishing a film about DeWitt Clinton High School, the school I went to in the Bronx, which is facing closure from some knuckleheads in the Department of Education who want to shut down a school that's been with us for 100 years and has one of the proudest records of graduates of any high school in America. America. D-U-C-L-I-N-T-O-N, boom. I'm trying to support you with this new film. My brother Bill had a hand in it as well, and we'll have that on offer come January. So I'm rushing now to leave you. I hope I'll be hearing from some of you. I hope you like what we do. I hope you'll support us not only on iTunes, but with your emails to dissector@mediachannel.org. Thank you to Kat Waters also, who's been, you know, a soul sister on this project with me. I'm just going to go out now with another song that was sung to me on my birthday last June in Cape Town, South Africa, by a young American student who is working on a project we're doing about the movie Long Walk to Freedom, Nelson Mandela's story. And thankfully, Nelson Mandela has gone home from the hospital in South Africa. He seems to have recovered from whatever the current affliction has been at age 94. And this young woman, American college graduate Monty Rose, sang this a cappella for me in this restaurant in South Africa, and she's just sent me a recording of it, and I wanted to go out with this song, which you've heard before, called Desperado. We're all desperados, folks. Monty Rose, Desperado.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. Oh, you're a hard one, but I know that you got your reason. These things that are pleasing you hurt you somehow. Don't you draw the queen of diamonds, boy. She'll beat you if she's able. You know the queen of hearts is always your best man. Now it seems to me some fine things have been laid upon your table, but you won't